Welcome to WRTI's Classical Stream, made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Learn more at WRTI.org.
Oh, two exciting guests today here on Crossover. We have, of course, our friend Peter Nero with his friend and guest, Lynn Roberts. A wonderful.
Hi, Jill.
Hi, Lynn and Peter. Welcome.
Hi,
Thank
Jill.
You. Thank
really,
you.
Really, just it's exciting to have you here. And we're going to talk a little bit about everything, how everything started, how you got back together. And you're doing this regular Stage Door Canteen show. Isn't that right, Peter?
Yeah, this
is it
one
every
is
year?
Son of Stage Door Canteen. The second time we're doing it.
Oh, but I thought, yeah.
I did this 5 years ago, but we've made some changes in there because there's such a wealth of material. And Lynn can sing it all.
That's wonderful. Lynn, just tell the audience a little bit about your background. I mean, you were a big band singer lots of years ago.
Lots of years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, my first big band was Charlie Spivak.
Oh, my.
Trumpet
yes.
player.
Sure.
You remember him.
Well, I know he was a big name. And then, of course,
yeah.
you had the Dorsey Brothers.
And then I joined Tommy in around 1952. And I was with Tommy for 2 years when Jimmy came on board and it became the fabulous Dorsey Brothers Orchestra
yes,
again
yes, yes, yes.
until Tommy passed away in 1956. So I was with him a long time, over 5 years.
And then what? What happened after that?
Well, after Tommy died, during that five-year period, I married the lead trumpet player in the band. And I think all girl singers marry the lead trumpet player first.
Okay. You go through the sections, I think.
Anyway,
go through the sections. See, that was my dream, you know, but I apparently didn't meet you, Peter, so what can I tell you?
And how many miles away did we live from
very
each other?
Close.
It's a very funny coincidence.
It really
you both
is.
Are from New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't you tell?
She was from Queens and I was from Brooklyn, but we were both near the borderline. So.
That's right. And I went to high school, a school called Grover Cleveland High School in Ridgewood, Queens.
Great.
And Peter's mom used to teach there.
That is really so. When did you meet, actually, for the first time?
5 years
Five
ago.
5 years ago, yeah.
Now, how did that happen, Peter?
Well, I was booked to do this wonderful Stage Door Canteen show. And how did that happen?
Well, Peter,
I remember correctly, yeah. it was Doc who, of course, was one of your greatest proponents.
Yeah.
And
And
he just didn't stop talking about you. Said, okay, got to do something here.
And that was nice. Anyway, and I came and I did the show, and we just, you know, it's like we've known each other for 100 years.
Well, almost, I guess.
and the show was a smash.
Of course.
So.
Yeah, people love it. It's uplifting. It's happy. It's sad. It brings back memories. It makes new memories. You know, you look at people's faces and you see them singing along. You see them mouthing the words.
I think it's important.
The emotions
Very important
are really
now for that.
It's amazing.
But you really, really are tremendously active. I mean, you have you been singing all these years?
I have. I have never stopped.
So, Lynn, tell us a little bit more about your background.
Getting back to Tommy Dorsey, when he passed away, I discovered a couple of months later that I was pregnant. And so I left the band because Jimmy continued on with the band.
Mm-hmm.
And I left the band and lived in New York. And that's when I became a studio singer and I started doing jingles, commercials.
You see, I remember your name from the radio, I think.
You might.
I think I do. You Were you on a show on the radio with a hit parade or something
I
like that?
I was on a show with Sammy Kay.
Oh, my. Well, okay.
Swing and Sway with.
With, that's
absolutely.
Right. That's
yes.
Right.
And it was called Music from Manhattan, and it was a television show. And we followed the Lawrence Welk show, or we preceded the, I can't remember. But it was called Music from Manhattan, and I did that show for, I don't know, maybe about a year. And so that might have, I don't know.
No, I don't know about that, but I do know that when I heard the name Lynn Roberts, I had heard from a friend who was down in Hilton Head that you had sung down there and that you just caused a sensation.
Yeah.
And then when I interviewed Peter, he said, well, we're having Lynn Roberts. I said, my goodness, you know, she's doing the roots. So it's really quite amazing. So you are down there now? You live down there?
I live there now, yeah. And I love it. It's wonderful. I actually, after I left New York, I moved to Connecticut for a while, a couple of years. And then I moved down to North Carolina. I lived in Calabash, North Carolina. I moved there because my brother was there, and we were very close. And so I lived there for about 10 or 15 years. And then my friend Bob Alberti, who is a wonderful piano player.
Yes.
He said to me, you need to, you know, Shirley and I are buying a place in Sun City, and you need to come down and check it out because it's really, it's a good place. And so my husband and I did. We went down. We really liked it, and we sold our place and we moved to Hilton Head.
Yes, and you're still, I mean, you're working there. You're actually doing
it. I work there, yeah. And I work, you know,
around
all over.
But
all
I,
over.
It's amazing. It's so wonderful to have the voice. They really are the voices of the past, I think, for a lot of people. And they are for in the present now. I mean, Peter, yeah. You know, it's I mean, I know about Peter Nero for a long, long time. I know about him when he was just a pianist. Just a pianist.
Just a pianist.
He changed the whole face of piano playing. I mean, really, basically.
I may go back to it.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. So anyway, but of course.
Yeah, what time does the bus leave?
Yeah, right. But so that, of course, is included in your wonderful show, Peter. And tell us a little bit about how the idea came about for Stage Door Canteen.
Well, it was a discovery of the music of the 40s. And one thing that occurred to me is, whenever we play songs, they're usually coming from Broadway shows or from mm-hmm. films. So, therefore, there is a plot. And the songs are telling the story of the plot. And World War II songs were telling the story of reality.
Yes.
And as I began to research all the material, all the songs that had been written, they all told the story of the feelings of the soldiers and of the women at home, and everything was metaphoric, like don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're never going to hear a lyric like that today.
Last night, I didn't know that what you said on stage last night about Sentimental Journey. I didn't know that. But
you
know,
as a matter of fact, I just learned that.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that was the...
Yeah.
What did you say for all the people that aren't going to be going to the concert?
What did you say?
There aren't any people that aren't going to be coming to the concert.
We're opening up an extra section. It's called the Academy of Music.
I have to tell you, though.
But just tell that little, because it's wonderful. Sentimental Journey.
The record was released. It was Doris Day. And the record was released just at the same time that the war was over. So the soldiers related very strongly to that song because it was the sentimental journey that they were taking was the one from
to go home.
The war.
To go home.
Sentimental journey.
You know,
home. Wow, that takes on a whole new concept.
But you know, it's really interesting. HBO is doing this thing. Tom Hanks is a producer. Mm. The Pacific, actually. He's at the Pacific now. And I can only remember, I was very, very young during the war, and I remember the music, and I remember the newsreels, and I remember seeing these things. But to see this reenacted, and then to hear these songs again, I really think it's a very, very important part of history, and it's very important to show the world today that unfortunately life does not change. We are still going through wars. We are still losing loved ones.
We're still praying for the same things now that we did then.
Exactly. And we're still singing the music that we associate with the time. And I think many people who would be of that era are gone now because I think they had done some kind of a thing with the memorial for the soldiers to World War II, and they had very few people left come to the dedication. But the people that lived through it, the youngsters that lived through it, I think will get an incredible, I mean, they're not young anymore, but this is an incredible nostalgic experience.
Well, what has amazed me is, and looking out at the audience, is that the people that are there were really not around during the war.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I think part of it is the fact that was, you know, such an important event, and it's been, you know, perpetuated over the years by all the motion pictures that have come out.
Yes.
But the music itself, when you come down to it, we discussed the lyrics as mirroring what was going on. But the music itself, the tunes, are great tunes.
Unbelievable. They are all classics. And the lyrics. I mean, well, and Lynn, I mean, I'll be seeing you. I mean, that's forever. That's a tune that I hope that you will be doing on the show.
We will now.
Well, maybe we'll do it on Stage Door Canteen 3.
Okay.
Or you can do it in our studio. So, Lynn, again, you've been singing through all these years, and you've maintained, I guess, a voice that is exactly the same as it was.
I don't think it's exactly the same as it was, but it's there, and I'm very grateful because it's a gift. And you know, during the time that I was, as I mentioned before, I was singing, doing commercials and stuff. That's when I started to work with Benny Goodman. He saw me somewhere and asked if I would work with his band. And I worked with his big band, and then I worked with his sextet. We did some European tours, and I worked off and on with Benny for 10 years during that whole period, at which point... he fired me once. But so did Tommy Dorsey fire me once. He did.
Why would they fire you?
Tommy fired me because I would not cut my ponytail.
What? They were allowed to do that then?
Oh, yeah.
Would you ever do that?
Cut my ponytail?
No, he really did. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was very in, wasn't
he didn't,
it, at that time?
Well, yeah, but he got tired of it, and he said, you know... it's too, you know, you're getting a little older now. I think you're a little more sophisticated. I think you need to cut your ponytail. And I said, you tell a woman to cut her long hair, you know, she's not going to do it. But anyway, it was my first wedding anniversary. I came to, we made a compromise. I said, okay, I won't cut it, but I'll wear it up.
An upsweep.
Yeah. And so that's what I was doing. But on the night of my anniversary, my first anniversary, I said to my husband, I think I'm going to wear my hair down tonight because, you know, it's our anniversary and, you know, and knowing that that was not a thing that I should do. So we were at the Saxony Hotel in Miami Beach, Florida, and we're all sitting on the bandstand, and I get on the bandstand with my ponytail, and Tommy gets on, and he looks at me, and he doesn't say a word. He just walks right back up to the trumpet section, and he says, I guess she doesn't care what anybody says, huh? And my husband goes, well, you know, Tommy, it's our anniversary. And he said, I don't care. He said, you can tell her that from tomorrow night on, she can wear her hair down for the rest of her life. She's fired. And that was it. And I was gone. No notice or anything.
And you didn't respond?
No, I didn't. And so I left the band, and I started doing a club act, and I was working a year later at the Chez Paris in Montreal. Mm-hmm. And the waiter came back and said, Tommy Dorsey's at the bar. He wants to talk to you. And I went, really? You know. So I went back, and he just acted as if nothing had happened. He said, how you doing, kid? You know, blah, blah, blah. And he said, I want you to come back with the band. And I said, really, Tommy? I said, why? I said, you have a good girl singer. I knew the girl that was singing with the band, and she was excellent, and I knew he had to be happy with her. And he said, well, we're going to open at the Paramount with Sinatra. And he said, and I wanted you with the band. And I went, oh my God. Okay. So I was back.
What happened with the hair? Well, that's what I
The hair stayed down. The hair stayed down.
You won.
Yeah.
So now.
And then sadly, that was in, we played the Paramount in August, and in November, Tommy passed away very suddenly. Yeah, unexpectedly.
Did you ever work again with Sinatra?
Nope, that was the only
that
time.
Was the only
Two
time.
Weeks,
and
it was a great experience. He was wonderful. He treated everybody so well, and and it was a wonderful experience.
Maybe he didn't like your hair down either.
Well, you don't. You're letting your hair down now, but
I don't have any to let down anymore.
What I was going to ask you was, you are of a genre that just they don't make them anymore. You know, the girl, big band girl singers.
Nobody
that have
wants
voices,
to sing like this
that
anymore.
That have voices. That yeah, have. But, well, what is it? What,
I
what
don't
is
understand.
Well, I'll tell you what it is, because what I hear, she sings a song.
Yeah.
She doesn't embellish it until you don't understand what it is anymore. And I'm not talking about scat
well,
singing.
Well, improvisation. Yeah, okay.
I mean, I'm talking about scat singing. I'm talking about just taking a melody. I mean, you hear how the Star Spangled Banner is done these
yes,
days.
Oh, please. Yes.
Yeah. Upside down, inside out, and you already know what it is anymore. But she just sings it and sings it. I can't say straight because there's no such thing. She really
well,
sings it with her
sings,
own style,
yeah.
but nevertheless, it's the song.
Yeah. I mean, am I going to improve on George Gershwin? I mean, you know, what am I going to do? But and I really feel the lyric is so important. You really have to think about it. And
what did you say to the audience?
When?
Last night. You, about.
Said oh, I said, isn't it nice to be able to understand the lyrics?
Oh, and did you get a big ooh from
unbelievable,
the
yeah. Oh, everybody's, yeah. you know. But it's true.
Well, you see, it's interesting because it's like anything else. Styles change, and we as the public have to absorb them, and we have nothing to say about them. You either go along or you complain about it, or you just don't listen. So what happens with – you're absolutely right about the singing because – sure, there's a you know, you need to know how to improvise. That's kind of nice. I mean,
a
I'm not talking
bit.
About ballad singing or something.
Yeah.
But in jazz, of course, there is improvisation. But this has gone way beyond the pale. Or has it been a change in the style of music? I mean, isn't that what happens, isn't it?
I don't know.
What
sometimes
do you say?
I blame it on electronics, and I'm an electronics freak. Everything I own is either battery operated or plugged in, except the stylus.
Except you.
Yeah,
except
I was just going to say, Lynn, you know, I was going to say except
well,
you,
I have to
Peter.
Recharge my batteries every day.
But no, really.
I don't know why. I really don't. I mean, it's the style of singing. I know what you're saying, Peter, but the style of singing, the sound, you know, don't singers today listen to us from, you know, from the past, like Helen Forrest, like Margaret Whiting, like Joe Stafford.
Joe Stafford, of
you know,
course.
Come on. I mean, but it's just the whole, to me, the singers today, sorry, but everybody sounds alike. Everybody sounds the same.
And you can't hear, understand anything.
Well, that's why I brought that up. I watch Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, they have groups on.
Mm-hmm.
And lately, they've been having what I would consider some very good groups on there.
Really?
Yeah. It was a surprise.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the deal is, whether it's the sound man for the show or whether the group brings its own sound man.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I can't hear is the singer. All I hear is the instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they've got the mic right in their face, and I can't understand a word they're saying.
Yeah.
And they are singing words, but I just, it's...
I have that problem.
Electronics and electric guitars, you know, they'll blast everybody.
Well,
out.
Of course. Now, Peter, you're in a position where you have to make decisions. I mean, you're giving concerts all the time. You have the Pops. Now, the Pops is that. I mean, it's not the Arthur Fiedler Pops anymore. It's, you know, it's not, that used to be Pops, popular classical, but of course the whole genre of Pops, now it's probably the most important and most popular, excuse the pun, a form of entertainment. You know, people love to go to the Pops.
If you want
to
make money.
Yes. And
you got to have a Pops.
All over the country they have. So you have to make decisions as a conductor and as a music director, and of course as a participant because you play, what do you do? I mean, how do you run that, you know, how do you avoid not being dated but still being
fresh
and also accessible? I mean, you know, there you have people in the audience that don't like the new style of music, and I say that in quotes, and we all sound like we're very old, but we're not. We're in the business and we're active. So, how do you do that? How do you please
I'm
everybody?
I'm continually surprised. I'll try things out there that I figure this audience is not going to go for. They're going to want to hear Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Mm-hmm.
So if we do an excerpt from some of the Broadway shows that are considered contemporary, I think we even did excerpts from Elton John's Aida.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Well,
yeah,
I would tell you.
Well,
it's frankly, it's if the tune is memorable.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they'll hook their ear onto. And it really doesn't matter if it's rock and roll or...
But you do play stylistically. You change. I've heard you do it.
Yeah, I try to play around. I've always incorporated with whatever is
current,
new, and but stays. Because a lot of things that came along just came along and disappeared.
And disappeared.
But the ones that stay have become part of the vocabulary, so to speak.
So you have actually a younger audience, Lynn. You said a lot of people coming in there.
I agree with Peter. I think the people that I met in the lobby last night, I mean, they're much younger, than...
Well,
you would imagine.
You know, there's classical music, and it's called classical not because it's the classical period, but because they're classics.
Yes,
so the
right.
same thing with pop songs. Mm-hmm. They're classics that have withstood the test of time.
And of course, the Great American Songbook.
What is that?
That's what we...
Tell me. I hear it all.
We used to call that standards.
Thank you.
But yeah. but not anymore, because now standards is
that's
the
right.
Beatles.
So that's
or,
what
you
it
know.
Is. Uh-huh.
But
they're not. That's wonderful music. The Beatles.
But the Great
American. I hear that phrase again.
Which?
Wow. But the great
American. Song.
Yeah, I know. Well,
everybody is using it.
I know they're using it.
Your friend in Florida.
I know.
And I'm wondering, what is the Great American Songbook? It's the oldies, I think. Maybe the oldies.
I know,
and goodies.
But see, that puts a connotation.
Well,
of, you know,
it,
like,
but it's negative. But the point is that how do you classify? I mean, when you do classical music,
let's think of a new one.
Sometimes
when I think of the Great American Songbook, we're really thinking about Broadway. I don't know why, but
no,
it
I
seems
don't
to
feel
go together.
That.
Well, there are thousands of songs that came from Broadway.
Yeah.
So where are the rest? And the stuff that came from the Hit Parade that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. That's really part of the Great American Songbook, but nobody even thinks about it that
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
It always
yeah.
has to be
so
attached
when did it
to
change?
Something.
I know. What is the line of demarcation?
As to whether it's Great American Songbook
no,
or...
as to the different styles.
Should we go back to standards then?
Where do we go? Rock and
the
roll?
Standards.
Is that? No.
So we're trying to come up with a definition for
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking of American musical theater because I'm tired of saying Broadway also.
But it's mm-hmm. theater, again, and there's a lot of stuff that wasn't theater.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Yeah. I mean, this is a conversation that goes on, but I was just thinking about classical music. You don't say, oh, that's classical, and then this is contemporary.
Mm-hmm.
There's contemporary classical,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
There is Baroque. There, mm-hmm. I mean, you have classical periods,
right?
But it's classical, and the contemporary is classical, but it's not contemporary classical music is classical.
Right.
So what happens in the pop field? Is they don't even use the word pop anymore.
No. Because we don't know what that means mm-hmm. either. I used to be, I was a pop singer, but I'm certainly not a pop singer anymore, you know.
Well, you'll always be a pop singer in my book.
Yes, and in ours as well.
The girl singer.
Yeah, and it's just wonderful having you both here, and we could go on and on forever, but the point is that whoever is listening will catch, you have two more performances, is that right, Peter?
That's right, Saturday matinee and Sunday matinee.
And Lynn, you will come back again and again and again?
I hope so. I just want to remind Peter that I was here 5 years ago.
Okay.
If you wait another 5 years, I'll be 80. So don't wait another 5 years.
And
I
have to tell you, I really have to say, you know, we're celebrating that, because if you saw these two people, you would say, what do you mean? No, Lynn is absolutely, and Peter too, just wonderful and so current and alive and vibrant and talented. Isn't it lovely to hear? So thank you.
We're going to take this show on the road.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Will you? Please.
Yeah.
We'd love to do that. And I think it would be incredible. I really do. People all over the country would absolutely love it.
What about Europe? Have you ever had an opportunity to perform in Europe your pops group?
I have played with other symphony orchestras in Europe. My stuff.
Your stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very surprised, because I started back in 1963 in Europe, and I was only afraid that they would not understand or appreciate what I had done with Mountain Greenery,
mm-hmm.
a la Mozart.
I bet you they did.
Right, right.
Oh, I bet you they
went
nuts.
I didn't even think they'd know the song. Our repertoire was theirs.
Yes.
And also, so is jazz, and so is the pop and rock
very
and
much
everything.
So.
I guess there is no line anymore, between continents. But take it on the road, please. And
okay.
Keep coming back to Crossover, will you?
We will.
Be our pleasure.
Thank you, Jill.
Okay.